Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
God is doing. We're going to pick up in our series, Chasing Carrots. And the carrot selection is not getting very good at Publix. It's kind of getting worn down a little bit. And Amanda hooked me up with these today, and I'm like, I was there last week, and the produce was a little bit down. And then this week, week four, there's not the same carrots. We're getting different carrots every week. But these carrots are looking a little bit more on the weaker side. And as I was thinking about that today, I'm like, man, these carrots don't look that good. And what I realized is that the more and more you chase carrots, the closer you get to it, you realize it doesn't look that good. Whenever you get there, you realize it's not as good as you thought it was. And you guys, I have done this for so long. The guy last night with nothing, said, man, I just can't figure this thing out. I feel like the needle didn't satisfy, and drugs won't satisfy. One of our ladies, she said, that lady up in the front row, I got to sit next to her. She's 60 years old. She goes, I love crack. She's like, you can't break it, but then when you get that, it doesn't satisfy. And so some of you guys are like, well, I'm not off that bad. I mean, that is like nothing, that is like they have nothing and nothing will satisfy. And then I'm listening to a podcast yesterday. I went on a run yesterday, and I was listening to podcasts, so it kind of keeps me even keel. I was listening to this podcast, and there's this girl that I was listening to this podcast on. Her name is Jamie Keene Lima. And you guys, she was adopted, and she felt empty. And then she's a Denny's waitress, and she felt empty, and she decided, I'm going to chase money because I'm not going to. And she chases money, and she develops a cosmetic company, and she sells it. She exits for $1.2 billion. I don't know about you, but if I got $1.2 billion exit, I'd be going, I'm good, I'm fine. Talking about 10X, she started this business. Rejection after rejection, and she exited, and she goes, it still didn't satisfy. Can you imagine $1.2 billion not satisfying? I can't. I need to try it so I can know if it's going to satisfy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't satisfy. And then she writes a book, and she's a New York Times bestseller, and she goes, it doesn't satisfy. And then she makes it. She's like, I grew up watching Oprah, and she said it'd be awesome one day to meet Oprah. She meets Oprah. She sits at Oprah's house. She has a three-hour lunch at Oprah's house. I don't know what that's like, but it sounds cool. A three-hour lunch at Oprah's house, and she says, I met Oprah when I left Oprah. Oprah said, here's my cell phone number. You can call me whenever you want. And she goes, I thought I made it. When I got in my car, I realized, man, that doesn't fill me. Isn't that crazy? So then she writes a second book, and she says, this book, it doesn't fill me. She goes, but you know what does fill me? What I realized? Jesus can fill you. Jesus can fill your life. It's the only thing that can fill you. It's the only thing that can fill your lungs. It's the only thing that can, side note, anybody watch The Good Doctor? Anybody watch that one? Come on, last week's episode, they detach, I don't know if this works out, but they detach the arm. The guy gets his arm cut in stuck in a meat grinder. I don't even like blood. I watched most of the show like this, you guys. There's a guy in there right now where he gets squeamish with blood. I'm like, I feel you, bro. A big old 6'3", 6'4", 300-pound lineman. He's like, I'm going to go, like, professional football player, turn doctor. I'm watching. They're like, the doctor's like, hey, we could save the hand if we attach it to the foot for a little bit, till the infection goes away. Then they attach the hand back to the arm. I don't know if that's real or not, but I watched it. I liked it. So cool. There's nothing that can fill you. There's nothing nothing fixes anything. Only thing that fixes things is Jesus. So whether you have a lot and you're chasing a lot, that won't fill you. I don't know how $1.2 billion can't fill you. Having a needle stuck in your arm every night, it doesn't fill you. And anything in between. So some of you guys are like, okay, I'm gonna ride the middle. It doesn't fill you. There's nothing that can fill you. And that's what King Solomon's telling us. We're all chasing carrots. It's like chasing the wind. You cannot catch the wind unless you're hitting a golf ball and it's at your back. Then you can catch that wind. You know, it just feels good to be when the wind blows. I hit faster when the wind blows. We've used this quote every week. Human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. And this guy tried everything. And he's telling you, and he's telling me, and this Jamie Lima is telling us, and the young man last night who's trying to get off of, trying to not be addicted the rest of his life, they're telling you it's all meaningless. It's like chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, this guy's depressed, frustrated, has everything, and yet he's telling you and I say nothing works except for Jesus. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 1, again, I observed all the oppression that takes place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them. The oppressors have great power and their victims are helpless, which is why we send people all around the world to go serve people, which is why we have partners all around the world, because there are people that are being oppressed, and while we may not go to reach them, we can send resources, and the resources can help the people that want to help the people. And so there's oppression all over the world. He goes, I saw that. So I concluded that the dead, this is pretty depressing, I conclude that the dead are actually better off than the living. I don't know about you, but I want to be here. I like being here. I love this. I love you guys. I love my family. I love the life that God has blessed me with. I like being here. But he's like, yo, it's actually better to be dead. All the bad, all the trauma, all the stuff that we see, all the hopelessness that we see. He's like, it's actually better off to be dead. Now, if you're a believer, you that's good, because you're like, then I'm in heaven with Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, if I live here on earth, Jesus. If I die and go to heaven, Jesus. Either way, Jesus. That's how we should believe. In the kingdom, it's Jesus either way. Verse 3 says, but most fortunate of all are those who are not even born yet. They're not even born yet. Like they're the most fortunate. For they have not seen all the evil that is done under the sun. I sat with an officer this past week, family, who lost their son 10 years ago, and a chaplain over in Windermere. And so I got to be with the family, and we did a memorial service and prayed and just be with the family. And they were talking about their son's life and how their son lived his life for Jesus. And it was just a pretty cool story. And they said every year since the passing of our son, we find out another thing about our son that makes us more and more proud of our son. And every time someone tells me a story, I just look to heaven and go, thank you, God, for the life that my son lived. So his impact is, he's making an impact even though he's not even on earth anymore. I don't know about you, but I want to be there as well. He says here, the reason why he died, Robbie German, he was died because they went to stop two young men, and the two young men shot and killed him. And there's so much evil on this earth. We have men and women that go into harm's way every single day. There's so much evil on this earth. Then I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. That's why most people are chasing carrots. We didn't even talk about comparison. I don't even know if I'm going to continue this next week. I don't even know what I'm preaching on next week. I know it's Easter. I know we're going to talk about the risen Savior. But I'm like, man, this is applicable, because people are hopeless. If people are going to come here, they're going to try out Jesus or church, which they're not. Jesus and church are not the same thing, but they're going to come to church, they're going to hear about Jesus. And I'm like, man, is this chapter five what God wants for us next week? But he's like, man, I observe that people are motivated because they envy their neighbors. But that too is meaningless. Like chasing after the wind. Fools fold their idle hands, leading them to ruin. And yet, better to have one handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing after the wind. I was telling someone the other day, I'm like, I can't imagine. I know guys that have had pretty large exits in their companies, young, and I was listening to this podcast, also young exits, having plenty of stuff, but like, I'm gonna keep on working. Anybody in here young ever fantasize about retirement? Anybody? 18-year-olds. You know, I'm kidding. Like, I realize that when you get there, I don't know what you do when you get there. But I know a lot of guys that get to that point where they're able to retire and they don't retire because I don't know what they're going to do. I'm thankful. I do know this. There is an antidote to retirement. Whatever with your life, whether you're retired or not retirement, the antidote to all this is serving other people. Serving other people. one of the greatest servants in this church is Jeff. The trailer was needed some repair this week. I got you. I can do that. And I don't even know if he's retired. He's always helping people. Like, I don't know if that's his job. I don't know if he's getting paid. I don't know if it costs him. I have no idea. So he's always helping people. Man, that is helping people. Helping people is part of the secret sauce. Being a servant. Because when you're a servant, it makes you realize what you have and what you don't have. And it makes you see the things that matter and what things that don't really, really matter. Being about people. Jesus is telling us in this passage of scripture, way before he ever came to earth, way before there was a Palm Sunday, he's telling us that relationships, they matter. Serving people, loving people, caring for people, not just like you, but every people. I walked in that room last night. I go, this room smells like nicotine. That freeway last night, like everyone smoked. Lance goes, you should have tried being on that bus. He was high. I'm just kidding. Our little secret. Other people walking, can you pray for me? My son, one lady walking, your son helped in the clothing, in the pantry, clothing area, which you guys, we gave a lot. By the way, we're going to have to collect some more shoes in a little bit, so to be prepared to buy yourself a new pair of shoes, everybody. I think we sent hundreds of pairs of shoes over there. We're going to have to give them more. I saw that they're getting low on it, but my son was able to help people shop. And you get a person that walks with you and they help you shop. And he said the glass guy helped. He was scary. He said he had so much alcohol on his breath. He was just kind of stumbling around. And anyways, the people that were over it said, man, your son did such an incredible job. I'm so thankful that we have people and like you guys and like this 13-year-old boy going, I want to serve people. I want to help people. Relationships, they matter. They relationships matter. So he's going to make a shift here, and he's going to start talking about relationships. He's like, hey, what I found is that there's a secret sauce. It's in relationships. Everything is better with people. And your health is attached to this too, because if you don't get healthy, it's going to be hard for you to be in community with you. Or if you're not healthy, it's going to be hard for you to want to be in community with other people. And so he starts telling us, he starts shifting to relationships. Verse 7 goes this, I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? But why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It's all so meaningless and depressing. I have all this stuff, but I have no one to share it with. That would be miserable. We looked at, Shaquille O'Neal said that, we used a quote from him a few weeks ago, but he said, man, make sure you keep track of what matters the most. I got a 100,000 square foot house and no one to share it with. I was talking to Jamie today, who's playing guitar, and Jamie said, oh, I went to this thing, I saw this show, and it was based off this person. I got to hear the story behind why she wrote the song, but it's like, dang it, man, everybody, it doesn't matter. Everyone's kind of hopeless. And the worst kind of hopeless is being alone. No one there to enjoy it with you. Verse 9 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Have you ever met someone in real trouble? It's because they ain't got nobody, right people in their life. You need people in your life that are telling you yes, but you also need people in your life that are telling you no. You need people in your life that are holding you accountable. I'm coaching a married couple, or engaged couple in the back. I use Proverbs 27:17 this week. Iron sharpens iron. So does a friend sharpen the countenance of the friend. They said, Pastor West, we want you to do our wedding, but we want the coaching that comes with it. I said, come on, baby, because we need that. We need coaching. The guys in the NBA, and it was funny, I was watching Full Swing this past week, and I'm all caught up on it now, but it's like, man, the best players in the world aren't the best players in the world because they have no coaches. The best players in the world are the best players in the world because they have good coaches, and they don't quit. There's a lot of things that go with the recipe. One of the things that all of them, they have these coaches, and they have swing coaches. So if you're here in your day, you go, man, I'm not that good. It's maybe because you might need a swing coach. You know what I'm saying? It might help you. Might not help you. But it's like you need a coach. I was with Nick and Hannah last night at Freeway, and there Nick has his pilot's license, and Hannah is going to get her pilot's license. And I thought to myself, what would it be like to try to teach yourself how to fly a plane? How'd it go? Oh, he crashed the first day. You need to meet Ricky over here. Ricky's been flying for as long as I've been alive. It's not a judgment. It's just reality. He's been flying for a long time. But what would that be like to have to teach? You need some people in your life. Oh, I said, meeting, I'm so proud of so-and-so. And so-and-so was at our church for a while, and she left our church, and she came back, and she's like, I'm here for the accountability. Whatever you guys need to tell me, I'm going to listen. I'm going to be a better listener than I was last time, because I want to grow. I want to grow. You need people in your life. He's telling you, you need people in your life. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. You want to be successful? Nothing good, I forgot who said it, but nothing good happens all by yourself. Two is always better than one, unless the other one is very, very, very unhealthy. But I'm just saying, but usually two are better off than one. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help them. But someone who falls alone is in real bad shape. I meet so many people in my profession, this job, this calling God's given me. They're in bad shape because they're just alone. I've met people, I'm like, hey, you need to get in community. You need to get in community. You need to get in community. They never get in community. Then once they fall, like, hey, I need help. I'm like, well, you need a community. I said this 1,000 times. You need to get community before you need community. You need to get it before you are in desperate shape of needing it. Isn't this good? Isn't Ecclesiastes so good? I love this chapter. I love this book of the Bible. Verse 11. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. How can one be warm alone? Verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back together and they can conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Verse 13. It is better to be poor. It is better to be poor, but wise youth than old and foolish king who refuses all of the advice. It's better to have people in your corner than to be all alone. It's just better. We're like, well, I'm not a king. I mean, they have everything. If you have everything but you don't have people, then you're still missing something. You need people in your life. You need to be healthy. They need to be healthy. We all need to be healthy, and we need to be in each other's lives, making each other better. We need that. We need that. I'll illustrate it in just a moment. Verse 14, such a youth could rise from poverty and succeed. He might even become king, though he has been in prison. But then everyone rushes to the side of yet another youth who replaces him. Endless crowds stand around him, but then another generation grows up and rejects him too. So it's all meaningless. It's like chasing after the wind. It's better to be poor and be chased after wisdom and being open to the things of God. I want to encourage this church. We got to be open to the things of God. And I want to encourage you as best I can. We do not need to be open to some of the things of God, because I think that does more damage. I was listening to a podcast this week, Saturday morning. I listen to podcasts all the time. It's just very, very applicable because I ran yesterday, and so I got to listen to two podcasts. But the guy said, the pastor said at one time, he was a youth pastor, and someone walked up to him. He was in California, and he said, Pastor Chad, he said, God's like, I don't know if this is blasphemous or not, Chris, but he's like, God's a lot like In-N-Out. He either wants you in or you need to get out. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, you gotta be open, church. I'm not, this is not doomsday, but as we go through these next 8 months, again, I've said this a thousand, I want to prepare you to be there. You know, political preferences have split churches all across America. That sounds silly. By the way, any adjective you put before Christian makes the adjective more important than the Christian part. That's free. Either you're a follower of Jesus or you're not a follower of Jesus. I've been bothered by a verse in Scripture. It's in the New Testament. And Jesus says in the Scripture, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say? Why would we call ourselves followers of Jesus but not follow the whole entire book? I could tell you it's better. I met with a young man this morning, desperate, looking for hope. And I'm like, dude, you can't pick and choose this thing. It doesn't work that good that way. It does not work when you're cherry picking this thing. All these different, the March Madness, I don't care what your team is. You have to have a good offense. You have to have a good defense. You have to have good coaching. You need the full entire package. You need a good running back. You need a good quarterback. The best teams have the full entire package. You need the, you can't afford to go, yeah, I don't want to do that. Anything that you don't want to do, by the way, we could have coffee, any part of this that you don't want to follow, any part you don't want to follow, and I can show you how it's, that the part you don't want to, how it's detrimental to your health. Now it's detrimental to your being. You need the whole book. You have to have it. Genesis through Revelations. If you didn't have to have it, guess what? Common sense. He wouldn't have put it all in there. Relationships, money, compare, whatever your thing is, you can look at this book and it's, God's put it in there for a reason. So let me give you two and a half things, and then we're going to take communion together. Number one, chasing carrots drives a wedge between you and other people. If you're chasing things and stuff, there's a wedge there. I can illustrate that. I know so many guys that are winning at work, but they're losing at home. And I've been there. Sometimes I am there. And that's miserable. I hate that. That bothers me. That bothers me. And likewise, you don't want to win at, you don't want to, I get you, if you're winning at work, it would be miserable also to maybe, or winning at home, but then to lose at work, maybe that would be hard too. I know so many guys that have made it to find out that they didn't make it. That's a tweet for someone. Wouldn't that be miserable to make it and then find out that you didn't make it in the things that mattered the most? I took a hard left turn right before sabbatical, maybe right during COVID, actually, so it was 4 years ago or 14 years ago, I can't remember. And I realized, because what COVID made me realize is I worked my bottom off to launch this church with the power of God and the Holy Spirit. But I had more hours in the church than I had into my family. And that bothered me so bad. And what it hit me was, is I was teaching and my 8-year-old son how to ride a bike that I had taught, but I had taught my 4-year-old daughter previous years how to ride a bike. And I was like, why one at 4, one at 8? And I realized it's because I've been too busy. It's just, that's common sense, right? I was just too busy. The Holy Spirit was like, boom, here you go. You're welcome. I'm like type A. So I taught the 8-year-old and I also taught the twins who were 5 at the same exact time. I'm like, let me just kill 3 birds at one stone. It's not even the same. I'm like, I'm gonna try it. You know, like, I'm just like juggling them. I let my work. And you know what stinks? Is that my work's actually it's a good thing. Right? Like, you're like, you would never go, man, pastors, it's a bad profession. They're not really doing anything for the king. Like, you wouldn't say that. You'd go, that's noble. That's noble. Hospital visits. That's noble. People's marriages falling apart, jumping in the middle of that. You know what's crazy about being a pastor? You get caught in people's worst days. You can imagine. They're having fun back there. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be back there than here right now. Come on, band. See you guys later. Chasing carrots drives a wedge between you and others. I heard this week, this illustration for you. Ty Cobb, highest career batting average, 90 major league baseball records. They said about him that he had a maniacal desire to win. He always wanted more, and he pushed everyone around him to want more. He died, net worth, $200 million. 3 friends, not even enough people to carry a casket. What are you living for? You guys, Ecclesiastes and all these people that we're studying, like, it's here for us to go, well, what am I gonna, it's not here for us to go, oh my gosh, what a loser. Oh my goodness, $1.2 billion didn't help them. It's there to go, what is my life? What am I doing with my life? We're going to die one day. I don't know about you, but the legacy I want to leave is that I want to have eternal legacy. I want to have kids who love the Lord. They're not going to love the Lord if I'm a bad example. They're not even guaranteed to love the Lord if I'm a good example. And that's daunting. That's what Ecclesiastes says. I don't know about you, but I want to do my dead level best to live the example of a Christ follower. A real one. That's a new adjective they're calling for. He's a real Christian. They're a real Christian. I'm like, what was the first? It's all these watered down versions of Christianity, and people are going, we need to add real to it. They're a serious Christian. I want to live a life where people go, my kids and the community that I run with go, oh, he loved Jesus. And everyone around him knew he loved Jesus. And he actually did something that mattered. And by the way, it's like another disclaimer. Ever since COVID, you have to add 1,000 disclaimers. Whatever you got, I'm not against things. We all have things. If you're in this church, you got things. It's not bad. Stuff's not bad. But I don't know about you, but I want to get to my last day, and I want to have more than 3 people to carry my coffin. We might need to have 2 more kids. I'm kidding. It's too far. A lonely death. You will have a lonely death if you live a lonely life. Sounds weird, I know. Here's a second thought. Chasing carrots drives a wedge between you and Jesus. You're welcome. That's what it drives a wedge between you and Jesus. He doesn't drive a wedge between us. He's always trying to build bridges between us and him. The greatest bridge that he ever built was a cross. He came in a manger, but he left on a cross. That's what he's doing for you and I, the cross. I don't think he's doing this. This is just a Westism. But Jesus does not want to compete with your stuff and your chasing. He just doesn't want to. Like, if he wanted to compete, I promise you, he would win. I was talking about a golf tournament with Jamie today. I'm like, I don't go to those golf tournaments to win. Like, I go to have fun, and that's what I go to do. I don't go to win. It sounds like a very loser mentality, I know. But I'm like, I'm not buying 1,000 mulligans, and we're not shooting 23 under, and we're not cheating. Those are 3 things that we can't do. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't do those things. We're just under my watch. Like, I just feel confident that we shouldn't do those. I want to go have fun with people that I like, and hopefully they like me. You know what I'm saying? I hope they like me. I don't know if they like me or not, but I'm inviting them anyways. Can I tell you this today? I don't know if this goes with the message, but I just feel like someone needed to know that Jesus wants to be your friend today. He wants to be your friend. The Bible says he's a friend of sinners. He wants to be your friend today. Isn't that comforting to know? While you're chasing, he's chasing you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be there on your worst days and on your best days. He loves you. This lady that I mentioned with the $1.2 billion exit, she said, she wrote this book on self and self-worth. And what she says in the book, there's a big difference between self-confidence and self-worth. And I was like, man, some of you guys in here today, you don't feel like you're worthy of God's love. And so you go out and chase all this stuff to see if that's going to fill the thing that you're missing. And I just want to let you know today that he loves you. He's madly in love with you. He loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for your sins. That's how much he loves you. And you're worthy of that. If you weren't worthy of that, he wouldn't have done it. That's the only way I can know to explain it. He wouldn't have done it if you weren't worthy. Now, I know some of you guys will get a little antsy. The pressure's not on you, and the pressure's not on him. Like, the big deal is that he did it. He chose you. Like, that's the big deal. Don't feel like, oh my goodness, I'm worthy. Look at me, I'm worthy. That's not where this message lands at. Oh, I'm worthy. No, like, he did it all. He paid it all for you and I. Jesus paid it all for you and for me. He loves you. You're worthy of his love. And from that, Wes Beauchamp, King Solomon, is telling you you don't have to go and chase anything. You get to just be in the position that God loves you. And from there, things will flow. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and all these things about it. You just land there, and then from there, the rest, the stuff goes the way it's supposed to go. Well, it's supposed to go, Pastor Wes. And it's going to go different for all of us. But I'm just going to go, I'm going to go full chips in with the blood of Jesus and the cross and the kingdom that we talked about last week. I'm going to go full in there and then let the rest of the chips fall where they may. You don't have to chase. When you have the love of Jesus permeating your life, you no longer have to chase. We're going to take communion together. If you didn't get communion, can you just throw your hands up really high and just hold them up? Ray's going to bring them to you. I don't want you to miss the moment, so hold them up high. Come on, Megan's got this side. Ray's got this side. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, this is your moment. We're going to take communion together as a community. And communion is for Christ followers. Jesus got with the disciples and they had communion with the disciples. We had communion with the disciples. That's what he did. That was the last. He's like, hey guys, here's this bread. Remember my body. It's going to be broken for you. Here's this cup. You can drink of it. Here you go. He's like, hey guys, remember, you guys can remember me. Remember me from this moment. From now on, when you see bread broken, you'll remember me. And from now on, when you guys have a drink of wine, you're gonna remember me. I want you to remember me. And so what I would want to say to you today is, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ before you take communion together today. Before we take communion together today. Because you want to take it with communion. Secondly, maybe you're here today. This is a moment for some of us. Some of us have some, you want to have your heart right with God when you take communion. You want to. Works best if. But sometimes we have unforgiveness in our heart, bitterness in our heart, anger in your heart. Those are things that they well up sometimes. It happens. It's not because we choose it, but some things have happened to us. And so it's there. It's like, that's there. And you have to learn to identify it. That's why we always tell people, go to freedom, because it helps you find out. It helps you navigate when things like that rise up in your... But I can tell you now, if you have some things in your life right now that like anger, bitterness, whatever it is, an awe with a brother, you want to get that right. I met with a young man this morning. I'm like, hey, you have awe with a brother. You got to get that right. If that's not right, then it's hard to be in community if that's not right. You need to have things right with you and God. And so I want to invite everyone to stand to your feet. I want to address two groups of people for just a moment. We're going to take communion. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Wes, I've never placed my faith in Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Christ as your Savior. Because I'd hate for you to take, if you're not a Christian today, then this is just, it's just a juice and some bread. But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then this is communion with your Creator and your Savior. So if you're here today, you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, right where you're at, everyone's head's bowed, everyone's closed. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you haven't placed your life in his hands, right where you're at, would you just say, dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. Today, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you rose again. Would you come into my life? And would you save me? Would you make me new, Jesus? I want to be your son, or I want to be your daughter. I want to follow you all the days of my life. I want to be a follower of Jesus. If you pray that prayer for the very first time, I'm so happy for you. I do want to celebrate that with you. If you pray that prayer for the very first time, we do this every week. We just ask you to raise your hand for just a moment, just so we can celebrate that with you. Count to three. When I do, I'm just going to have you slip your hand. You say, Pastor Wes, when you prayed that prayer, I prayed with you for the first time. One, two, three. Just slip your hand up real quick. Pastor Wes, I prayed that prayer with you today. Anybody across the way? Cool. I want to invite our prayer team to come forward. Everyone can look up for just a moment. I invite our prayer team to come forward. Maybe there's something in your life that's there that you got to get out of there. Our prayer team is available to pray. I've done this a couple times, but I'm going to allow you to lead yourself in communion. You just pray. You say, hey, God, I want my life to be right with you. I want my life to be right with other people. I don't want any wedges between me and your word, God. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the blood. However you'd articulate thankfulness to God, articulate that thankfulness to God. And then after you're done articulating that thankfulness to God, take communion.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.